Let's go ahead and get our Bibles out tonight, and let's go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 25, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and let's stand, and as we're going to honor the reading of God's Word tonight. If you were here this morning, and I think most of you were, you know that begin the message on Our God is Able. And what we're doing is we're just looking at different places in the Bible where that word able shows up as in relation to God. And we were looking at places where that word shows up to show that God can do something in our situation. Amen.
Amen.
You remember what we preached on this morning? We preached about that God is able to save. The Bible says He's able to save to the uttermost. See, we preached this morning about the fact that God is able to save anybody, no matter who they are. Nobody's too far gone. Don't give up praying for your family members. Don't give up praying for your friends. Hallelujah. God's still in the saving business. Amen. And then we preached about that if God's able to save, He's also able to destroy. And we need to remember that the same God that will save you and forgive you and love you and have compassion and mercy on you is also the same God that will judge you and drop the hammer if you, after He's continually dealt with you, you don't want to deal with Him and do what's right. And then we finished off this morning by saying God is able to deliver. And we preached about the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And Jesus didn't keep them out of the furnace, but He was in the furnace with them. He was in the fire with them. And they said, we're not careful to answer you in these matters, when they were talking to the three Hebrew children about not singing and not worshiping the Lord. I mean, not worshiping that false God, rather. They said, we're just going to worship the Lord. And they said, we believe that our God is able to deliver us if you throw us in this fiery furnace. And tonight we're going to continue with that, and we're not going to be long tonight. Just going to look at a couple of them tonight, and then probably, Lord willing, we'll finish this up the following Sunday morning on the subject of Our God is Able. So let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We're standing and we'll begin reading at verse number 1 tonight. Then I have Brother Russell. I want you to pray after that. You may be seated and we'll continue on with the message. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And here we go, verse number 9. This is a key verse. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. Yes. 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 Amen. Help me. Amen. Right. Help us. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. Now, as we just read, you know what's going on. There's a fellow here by the name of Amaziah. The Bible says he's 25 years old. He is the king of Judah at this time. What he has done is he has presumptuously acted and went over to Israel. And the Bible says that he's hired 100,000 mighty men of valor for 100 talents of silver. He's hired them to help them go fight with him. God comes to the king Amaziah and says, basically, no, sir. You've messed up. If you do this thing, I'm not going to be with you, and you're not going to win. You need to back up and punt, son. This is not what I want you to do. And so when God speaks to Amaziah about this, he brings up an interesting point. Amaziah speaks to the man of God, verse number 9, he says, but what am I going to do about the fact that I've already given these 100 talents? I've given them to the army of Israel. I've paid for these men to come. Now you're telling me not to let them come. I have already given them the money. I cannot get that money back. It's gone. And they're just going to get it for free. Now they're going to get it for free and they're not even going to help me. What am I supposed to do about that? And the man of God, the Bible tells them in verse number 9, the man of God answered that the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. So I only have a couple of things I want to preach on tonight, but the first one I want to preach on is this. Our God is able to replace what you give up by doing right. Boy, if you don't get anything else in your mind tonight, I hope and pray to God you'll get that in your mind before you leave. Our God is able to replace any and everything that you give up and lay on the altar to do what's right. You see, Amaziah was in a situation here. It wasn't that he didn't want to do right. He wanted to listen to the man of God. He wanted to do right. But his heart was conflicted because he was thinking, man, I don't want to lose all this money for nothing. I don't want to give up all this and now we're not even going to get them to service. I've already paid all this. How's this thing going to work out? And I'm telling you right here tonight that you need to learn, especially you young people here tonight, you teenagers, you need to learn young. And I've already lived a long enough serving the Lord, thank God, that I've learned this. Some of you gray-haired people, you really know this, that there ain't absolutely nothing that you're going to give up for God. You ain't going to miss it. I mean, what God's able to give you and what God will give you and what God will restore to you. I remember some time when I was first getting right with God and making a new life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went through a period of time where I actually felt lonely. I felt that I needed to do some separating in my life. But that was from most of my friends and most of the places I went and most of the things I'd done. But now, looking back at it, now and looking back at those years ago that's passed, the friends that God has replaced and put in my life, the things that God has given me, the fellowship, the sweetness of the relationships that I have now, that bunch I gave up to all those relationships that was leading me nowhere but straight away from God. Man, what God gave me, He was able to replace any relationship, any friendship that I had to give up to do right for God. I hope you teenagers believe that tonight. Hope you parents demonstrate that and show that to them. God is able to replace what you give up by doing right. Listen, any sin that you give up, God's able to replace it. You think, well, if I sell out for God and I do right, I'm not going to get to do this. Let me tell you something, folks. the fun and the joy that I've had by living a good, clean life and being able to, there was at times in my life where I could not go and lay my head on my pillow. Any of you ever lay in your bed at night and your face get hot and you get to thinking about some of the things you've done and hope folks don't find out about it or your parents don't find out about it? Boy, it's so good to lay down at night and not worry about what anybody finds out about me. There is no sin that you're going to give up. No lifestyle that you're going to turn away from that God can't replace with something much, much better. Man, I hope you'll believe that tonight. You may have a certain position. You say, man, if I walk away from this position, if I walk away from this, look what I stand to lose. Man, if God's telling you to walk away from it, look what you stand to gain by being obedient and doing what He's asked you to do. Maybe it's money. Maybe just like you, just like Amazon here, man, if I do this for God, I'm going to lose this money or lose this check, or if I invest this or give this or change this over here. Don't you think God owns it all? Don't you think God has the power to take that little old bit that He wants you to sacrifice and do right with and put His blessings on it and boom, make it more and bigger than you've ever had? You got to believe it. Listen. If you don't believe what I'm preaching on tonight, you won't live right. You won't make those decisions. If you don't believe that God is able to replace and give you something better for what you give up for doing right, if you don't believe it's worth it, you're never going to do it.
Amen.
The sad thing is, some of you never put God to the test to find it out. I put Him to the test. There's nothing I've ever given up for God where He didn't replace it with something much better, much more enjoyable, and much more peaceable. Bore fruits of righteousness in my life. Man, some people don't want to give up their Sundays. I work hard all week, and I have to work on Saturday, and I got one day off, and I want to rest. Yeah, you take that day off to rest, and then the refrigerator tears up, or the part on the truck tears up, and you lay up under that truck all day long, and guess what? You get up the next morning, the truck ain't fixed, you're in more debt, and you're not resting at all. If you would have just got up and sacrificed and came on to the house of God, you'd probably went to work next day more rested than you were in a long time. Worth giving up your Sundays for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your time. Well, I just know if I give up that, you know, this time, if I take that time, is it, yes, it is worth what God will give you by you giving up that time. God is able to do something, man. It's anything. You say, what about if I surrender? What about if I surrender? I mean, I don't want to surrender this thing. I want this thing. You've got to believe that God is able to replace that you want to keep a hold of, that you want to keep in your life, that you don't want to let go of. You got to believe that God is able to replace that with something much better when you give it up to do what He's asked you to do. You know, really, that's why a lot of people won't surrender. If you just narrow it down, when we talk about Christians in the body of Christ, about things they refuse to surrender to God, it all basically boils down to this. The reason they won't surrender to God is they think they're going to be missing out on something. They're going to lose something. They're going to be hurt in some way. They're going to be denied in some way by giving that thing up. And you do have to pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow Christ if you're going to be a faithful disciple. And initially, that old flesh hurts and it stings a little bit to that old flesh when the flesh can't get what it wants, right? But I'm telling you right now, I have never put nothing on the altar. I have never surrendered anything to God. I have never sold out, stock and barrel, and gave it all to God and walked away and found out months down the line and years down the line I'd made the wrong mistake or I felt like God didn't give me something much better. It's always been for the best. It's always been better. God has always made up, more than made up, for me getting rid of that and just obeying Him. So what do you lose by doing right? I mean, wasn't that what Amaziah was concerned about? I mean, he knew the man of God was telling him the right thing. He knew that's what he was wanting to do. But he said, man, what am I going to do about this 100 talents? I'm out of all this. I'm out of this money. Don't I need to go through with this thing? I paid for 100,000 men. I need them to come do what I paid them to do. So what do you lose out on by doing right? Well, let's see. The judgment of God. That's what you lose out on. I don't know about you, but I like to lose out on the judgment of God. Heartache. Listen, if you're going to get it in the neck enough, you're going to have enough heartache in your life because you do right. Don't have heartache and trouble and struggle and trials because you keep taking that pistol out of the holster and shooting your own self in the foot. Because you refuse to do what God's told you to do. Loss of finance. That's what you're going to lose out on. People say, I don't want to surrender and I don't want to do right. And I've watched people over the years because they wouldn't live right and they wouldn't surrender to God. God slowly take it away and slowly take it away and slowly take it away. Amaziah here is concerned about the money. He don't realize that God can look at him and say, man, that stuff you've given that money you've given up, that ain't nothing to me. I own it all. You just do what I told you to do. You just be obedient. I'll take care of the money situation. Folks don't believe that. A lot of people don't tithe. A lot of people don't give to God. They say, I can't afford it. I can't do it. I got to pay this. I got to pay that. And that's why some of you, you ain't never going to be no better financially off than you are right now. And I've told you that and told you that and told you that and preached that. And some of you don't believe it or care or whatever. You just going to hold on and grip that dollar till you die. And that's what you're going to do. Die without nothing down here and nothing up there. Amen. What do you lose out on? Oh, loss of health. Well, when I do right, what do I lose out on? Loss of health. I mean, I'm not an addict the rest of my life. I've not smoked my life, my lungs into nothing. I've not drank my liver till it shriveled up to anything. I've not spent my life in jail. What do I miss out on by doing what God told me to do? You probably miss out on some jail time. Probably miss out on the Addictions Anonymous. You miss out on a lot of things by doing what God told you to do. You might miss out on divorce. I know everybody's been divorced. It ain't your fault. I know that. The Lord knows I know that. And a lot of people, if they would have just done right and done what God told them to do, they could have made it in their marriage. Depression. You know, a lot of people are depressed. Listen. I'm fixing to go on to my next point tonight. I told you this thing ain't going to be very long. Listen, I know that people are clinically depressed. I know that. I do believe in chemical imbalances, especially this day and time when so few people get the exercise they need and there's so much junk and additives they put in the food. I absolutely do believe that it's messing our people's minds up and causes depression. I understand that. But a great deal of depression, a great deal of depression, I don't believe is a physiological thing at all. I believe it's because people refuse to do what God told them to do. Listen, if God told you to give and give of your time and give of your energy and get up out of the bed and turn that cotton picking stupid TV off and let some light into your house, and get in your car and try to go talk to somebody about the Lord and try to pass out a tract and read 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 chapters in your Bible every day and pray over the people on the prayer list and get your mind on spiritual things instead of on carnal things. If you would do that, about 75 to 80% of that depression you go through right now would be gone. If you would just get off of your lazy behind and get up and walk a little bit. Almost everybody I know of that's seriously depressed are lazy people. You think about that. Can anybody bear witness with that? Amen. Don't you know the most severe depressed people that you know of, not all of them, most of them are lazy people. They don't. Your body was not meant to just lay around and decay. And listen, whatever, if you would just do right, that'd solve a great deal of this depression we're facing. I'm not telling you to stop taking your medicine. Everybody look up here at me. By all means, if you need medicine, take it. But you need to do other things with that. Because I read a statistic not long ago that says about 80 to 85% of all people on antidepressants are still depressed. You're paying all that money for that medicine, you're still depressed. Don't you do some things God told you to do. Next time you get depressed, don't turn on the news. Open up your King James Bible. Next time you get depressed and you think you got it so bad, why don't you start praying for somebody who's got it worse than you? Next time you get to feeling bad, go out on the porch and just start praising God. Run around the house and shout a little bit. Well, that'll make you feel better. Know how I got off on all that. I'm telling you what one of the things that you will skip is heartache and anxiety and depression when you put it all in the Master's hands. Put it all in His hands. Amen. So you need to remember that tonight. Our God is able. He's able to replace what you give up by doing right. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that our God is able to give you much more than you ever will give up by doing the right thing? If you really believe that, then do it. Whatever it is tonight, give it up. Put it on the altar. Surrender it. And say, God, I know that whatever you're calling me to do tonight, you're able to do much more for me than what I'm having to deny myself for you. Now let's just look at one more point tonight. Like I said, we're not going to be long tonight. Take your Bible and turn all the way to the back of the Bible, to the book of Jude. As you hopefully most of you know, the book of Jude is the very next to the last book of the Bible. I want you to look at Jude in verse number 24. Jude, verse number 24. Here's another thing that God's able to do. Not only is God tonight, we've looked at the fact that He's able to replace and give you something much more than you ever had by giving up and doing the right thing with what He's telling you to give up. But our God is able to keep you from falling. Hallelujah, glory to God. Ain't that good? Jude, verse number 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now, I know this verse is in the book of Jude, but we use this verse, this is one of the common verses we use to teach eternal security, and rightly so. It should be used. But I think sometimes we just put it all in one category and make it a positional thing, but I think there's some positional and some practical teaching from this verse. The Bible says that God is able to keep you from falling. Notice the verse, keep you from falling, comma, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now you can put all this together and say that one day God is going to keep you from falling. You're not going to fall from grace. You're not going to fall from His love. You're not going to fall out of the body of Christ. Christ is in you. You're in Christ. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're not going to fall off the glory train. All right. When you get on that train, bless God, you're going to heaven. And then He says this, He's going to present you faultless. In other words, one day when you and I stand before God, we are going to stand before God sinless and faultless. And when God looks at us, you know what it's going to be? It ain't because we put money in the plate or read our Bible or prayed or came to church or won souls or got the Sunday school award or whatever. He's going to look at us and He's going to look at the blood of His dear precious Son that covered us. And the blood of Christ is what's going to, and what makes us faultless and what's going to make us able to stand before God in that day. And when we stand before God that day, and I don't think he's, you know, we say this question all the time, well, why should I let you into heaven? And I don't think God's going to ask that question. But if he were, none of us look at him that's going to be up there and say, well, God, I think you'll let me into heaven because I'm a lifetime Baptist. I don't think that'll help you a bit. He'll point over to one of the corners of hell and say, see all them Baptists over there? Well, God, I think you'll let me into heaven, God, because I gave a lot of money. A lot of people give a lot of money, but they just didn't try to buy off God. Well, God, I think you'll let me into heaven because I prayed and I came to church. Well, that's pretty good stuff, but now, don't you remember what the Bible says? By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The only thing we're going to say is when he says, son, why shall I let you in heaven? You're going to say, because the blood of your precious son has cleansed me of all my sin and made me perfect in thy sight. And you're going to say, well spoken. Come in. That's all it's going to be. God is able to keep you from falling. You know, people talk about, well, you know, God's not going to leave us, never leave us, but we can leave God. Listen, man, that Bible says that I'm kept by the power of God. It's not a matter of me leaving. I can't leave. He's keeping me. Listen, I'm not holding on to him, bless the Lord. He's holding on to me. People say something, try to read that verse over there in John about nobody can pluck me out of the Father's hand. That's a good verse and everything. But let me tell you something. You can add a little something to that after Calvary. If you're in the body of Christ, you just ain't in his hand, bless the Lord. You're part of his hand. God's going to discount you. You're going to have to cut off part of his hand, part of his body. The Bible says I'm in Christ and that Christ is in me. And positionally, I'm already seated up there in heavenly places. You say, what does that mean? I have no idea, but I'm up there. I know I'm up there. Hallelujah. You are too if you're saved. So listen, man, I definitely want you to get the main context of that thing, that it is a positional thing and that our God is able and he's got the power to and he's going to keep us from falling. Once we get saved and we're put into the body of Christ, you can't take yourself out. That Bible says if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. The devil can't take you out. Nobody else can take you out. When God saves you, the Bible says that you are sealed until the day of redemption. You're going to heaven when you die if you get saved. I don't want to just look at it like that. The thing says unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I want to look at it practically. How many of you believe the Bible when it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? How many of you believe the Bible when it says, greater is he that's within me than he is within the world? I believe this is a good verse practically to show you that, hey man, if you're saved and Jesus Christ lives within you, God is able to strengthen you and help you to live right and to do right and to not backslide and to not fall in this world and to live a blameless life before the Lord Jesus Christ. I get sick and tired of God's children talking about, saying statements like, well, you know, everybody's a sinner. Yeah, man, but if you've been saved in the length of time, you ought to be sinning less. You ought to be growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Quit making excuses for your wicked living. Quit making excuses for your ungodly choices. That Bible says that when you get saved, Christ comes and lives within you. You have the Holy Ghost of God in you to help you do right. Listen, folks, we can talk right. We can live right. We can act right. We can be right. We can think right. We can do it because Christ lives within us. And you've got to realize that God is able. Quit walking around with this defeated mentality and this defeated view. Well, woe is me, and you know, this is Laodicea, and life's tough, and this is a sinful world, and we've never had so many distractions in our life, and oh, I just don't know what to do. Believe the Bible. That same God is in you today, that's been around here for 2,000 years, that parted the Red Sea, putting Nebuchadnezzar out there, as we talked about this morning, out there in a field eating grass. The same God that performed the miracles and gave sight back to the blind and fed the 5,000, that's the same God that lives in you right now. And if you want to do right and pray to do right and have a burden to do right, that God that lives within you is able to keep you from backsliding, to keep you from falling, to keep you from going out in the world, to keep you to be faultless before man, be perfect before God. That word perfect, you know, doesn't mean sinless, but you can have spiritual maturity. You can be complete in God. And that's what He wants you to be. So tonight, that's the message. The message is that our God is able to replace what you give up because you're doing the right thing. Do you believe that tonight, church? Do you believe that God is able to replace anything you have to surrender and give up and to give you something even better? Do you believe that? Then we ought to be running to this altar tonight to give it up. If we really believe it. Do you believe that God is able to keep you from falling? Do you believe that once He puts you in the body of Christ, you don't ever have to be ever worried about being lost again? God's not sitting up there in heaven with a big old pencil with an eraser on it. Oh, he's sinned. Erase his name out of the book of life. Well, he got right. Write it back down. Erase it. Write it in. Erase it. Write it in. He died once. You get born again once. You get saved once. And if you ever get it right the first time, bless the Lord, you won't never have no need to get it again. But it's not just that. God is able to help you in your everyday life to be thoughtless, to live right, to not fall. I want to say this as I get ready to close tonight. During the last 10.5 years as I've been here at this church, we've seen them come and go. We've seen some people that's very dear to us and precious to us that we love. They backslidden. Many of them are not here tonight. They haven't been here in months. Some of them have been gone in years. They're out in the world. Right here tonight. And somehow or another, they didn't get a hold of this, and I'm preaching to you tonight. You got to have realize you've got the power of God in you to do right. You don't have to fall. You don't have to fall. You don't have to be another casualty. God is able to get you through to the end. And when you die and you draw your last breath on your deathbed, maybe you can't, man, I'm not perfect. I ain't done it all right, Lord, but I've lived for you. I've kept a good testimony. I've done what you called me to do. I'm dying right now. And I believe I'm going to be able to face you. And you say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God's able to do it. Every head bowed and eye closed tonight. Every head bowed.